You know what? God is always good. He is. He is always good. And right now, if you have a hard time believing that, you want to know, you are deceived. Awake. God is good. He's the Redeemer. I mean, that first song we sung, Oh Happy Days, you know, He washed my sins away. You just heard Pastor Tom talk about that with communion and the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, you could have screwed up yesterday. Guess what? He washed your sins away. Oh, happy day. It's a continuous thing. This life that we live by faith. We live by the faith of Jesus Christ. He becomes our all in all. We do not look to self, but we look unto Jesus, who is not only the author of our faith, but He is the perfecter of our faith. We are perfect in Christ Jesus. God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He's so good that James said that even when life doesn't look good, count it all joy. Count it all joy. That's how good God is. When things in your life get to a point where you think, nothing good can come out of this. This is going to lead to my demise. This is going to lead to my destruction. This is the end. You know what we're commanded to do? What we're told to do? Celebrate! Count it all joy! Have a party! Invite your friends! Do a jig! That's all I got is a jig. But count it all joy! Get your eyes off of the problems and on to the not only the answer, but life. He's life. Get your eyes out of the darkness and onto the light. He is the Lord of the dance. He dances over us. Do you know that there is a passage in the Gospels where the disciples come back and they're talking about everything that the Spirit of God did through them, through the faith in the name of Jesus Christ, how devils were cast out, how people were healed, and it said that Jesus said, I seen Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and it said that he rejoiced, and that word rejoice literally means he jumped into the air and spun. Is that your, that's God. And it just, God is so good. And today you're going to hear how good He is. It's gooder than you ever imagined. Today is the end of this series. And the best, we're going to see that the best is in Revelation, we're going to see that what it looks like when the best has come. And it continues forever. There will come a day when we won't have to say no longer, the best is yet to come. There is going to come a day when the best is here. And it ain't going to get no better. It will never get any better. And we'll spend all of eternity enjoying the riches of God. Last week we left off at the victorious return of Christ, where believers both living and who have died were caught up to Him in the air, and they were transformed into His likeness, spirit, soul and body, just like Jesus, resurrected, glorified bodies, and we returned with Jesus to the earth to rule and reign under him in God's kingdom. And we've seen that as this happens, Jesus cleanses the earth from evil and all that corrupts. And the spiritual forces that John calls in Revelations the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. They're done away with. And Revelations chapter 20 opens up with Satan being bound for 1,000 years. And that's where we're going to pick up. We're in Revelations chapter 20, verse 1. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. I mean, these chapters are the climax of everything. These are the greatest chapters in the Bible. They are. And it's hard to add anything to them. So we're going to be reading a lot of scripture today. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the keys of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon." Who's the dragon? Satan. "The serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan." I mean, he used almost all of his names, just so you didn't get confused. It. The dragon is Satan, the devil. And he was bound, and they bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him. Think about this. This is one angel. This just shows you how strong Satan is. God just sent one of his angels. He probably picked the smallest one. Go get him. It's over. And threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. So what is Satan doing in the earth right now? He's deceiving the nations. He's deceiving the nations. And until 1,000 years were complete, after these things, he must be released for a short time. And this is called the millennial reign of Jesus. And with much of the book of Revelation, there's lots of opinions, right? And there's lots of opinions how all of this plays out. And here's one of those areas that, I mean, just to be honest with you, to be totally honest, I don't understand it completely. I don't understand it completely. It's not totally clear to me. But here's what we know for certain. We know that Jesus returns, and Jesus, when he returns, he cleanses the earth from all corruption. And then the spiritual forces, the Bible says, of the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. Also, the dragon, which is Satan, he is bound with a chain, but he is not thrown into the lake of fire. He's thrown into what is called the abyss, and he's sealed in this abyss. That's interesting, right? Then the Bible says there's 1,000-year period where the earth is ruled and reigned under Jesus Christ. So this is what we do know. This is what the Bible says. And it sounds crazy. this is what's going to happen. And then in verse 6, it says, Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. So there's a first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? I would say that the first resurrection is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And your spirit is resurrected to new life in Christ Jesus. Then there is a second resurrection of our body. Right? Our spirits were resurrected from the dead. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so what it's saying is those that are born twice die physically only once. But those that are only born once will die twice. So those that have been born twice, they've been resurrected in their spirits, the second death has no power over them. That's good news. If you're sitting here this morning and you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and asked God to fill you with his Holy Spirit and you have become a new creation, old things have passed away, all things have become new. You are now baptized, married, submerged, welded, dunked into Jesus. You are one with him. You have the life of God living in you. And it says that you have nothing to fear in the future. You have nothing to fear in the future. And it literally says that we will reign with Christ, with him for 1,000 years. So we are told that those who are in the first resurrection will have no part in the second death. We will be priests of God in Christ, and we will reign with Christ in the millennial reign for 1,000 years. That's good news. That's good news. That's worth your cost of admission this morning. Maybe we should start seeing ourselves this way right now. Maybe we should see ourselves as those that have been resurrected from the dead, that the power of God, the Spirit of God is living within us. He's quickening our mortal bodies, that we are ambassadors for Christ in this earth right now, that we are his children. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Why wait? Why wait for our faith to become sight? Why not walk by faith right now? Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are complete, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, together for war. The number of them will be like the sand of the seashore. And they will come, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and destroyed them. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to amplify this a little bit in a second, but there's nothing to... We don't even fight the battle. We play this out like there's this great big war that's going to happen. Well, they all gather together, they surround the camp, and they're devoured by fire. I think we're sipping iced tea and in our zero gravity lounge chairs, just watching the whole thing, singing, God is always good. God is always good. Yada, yada. Right? And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. So Satan's done away with forever. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. So, like I said, some of this I don't understand though. And I've heard different teachings on this and different opinions on this. One of them is that when Christ returns, those that are not born again at Christ's coming are not removed from the earth, but they're just not glorified as the church is, as believers are. And during this thousand-year reign, this millennial reign of Jesus, they will be taught of the Lord. They will have an opportunity not to be deceived for 1,000 years. They will have an opportunity to have children and populate the earth. And then after the thousand-year period, Satan is released, and they are given the opportunity to choose Jesus or the enemy. And according to Revelations, lots of them choose Satan. The other one is that I've understood is that at Jesus Christ's resurrection, everybody is resurrected, living and dead. And every single person that's ever existed gets to live under the reign of Jesus Christ. But the believers are glorified. The believers are the priests of God, again, to train people in the ways of the Lord, to govern and to the nations. And again, Satan is loose, and they're allowed to make the choice. Continue under the rulership and the reign of Jesus Christ, or go the way of rebellion. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't say exactly what happens here, but we do know that Satan is bound for 1,000 years, that Jesus reigns for 1,000 years. It says those that have been born again will be reigning as priests of God and of Christ in the earth. And there has to be someone you're reigning over. And then it says that Satan is loosed to deceive the nations. And he does deceive them, because they gather together as the seas of the sand of the seashore. I don't know how this all plays out, and I can only speculate. But the good news is it all plays out awesome, because there isn't even a battle fought. See, it is the way of God, though, because God is righteous. God is just. I can understand how God, he is long-suffering, desiring that no one perishes, but that all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I can see God saying to the whole creation, and I'm talking about human creation and spiritual creation, showing how good he is, how patient he is, how long-suffering he is, and still have spiritual forces and human people choose to reject him. Well, anyways, there will come a time after the millennial reign, where Satan will be released, it says, for a short period, gathering many to himself to rebel against the Lord. And all this does is simply results in identifying who are against Jesus. And again, how that plays out, it's speculation. It's all speculation. It's fun to think about, though, right? And what happens? They are quickly destroyed. They are quickly destroyed by fire that comes out of heaven. And we drink iced tea. And then after that comes the great white throne judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them." What he's saying is that Everything is bare naked before him. Everything is known. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up their dead, which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. So apparently the lake of fire is different than Hades. They were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And guess what? The second death has no power over you. They were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Here's the most important, of all that stuff we just read, this is the most important point of these verses. That every single person's name who was written in the book of life will go on into the new heavens and the new earth. There is only one alternative destination, and that is the lake of fire, which is also called the second death. May the Spirit of God, may the Spirit of the living God sober our minds to this image and not be so deceived by those so-called false teachers that says that there is no hell, that there is no second death. But this now takes us to the most glorious and thrilling chapters of the entire Bible, chapters 21 and 22. Think we can get through this today? Amen. We're going to. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." So that's interesting. There's no longer any sea. Just like when our spirits were made into a new creation, so the earth and the heavens will go through a metamorphosis. Like a caterpillar coming out of a cocoon, turning into a butterfly. It will become a new creation. For the earth is eternal and will never be destroyed. How do you know that, Chad? Because I believe the Bible. Can I read the Bible to you? In Ecclesiastes 1:4, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. In Psalm 78:69, "And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has founded forever." In Psalms 104:5, "He established the earth upon its foundation so that it will never totter forever and ever." And then Peter tells us this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of the water by the water." I can't get into this stuff. And then verse 6, it says, "Through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." So Peter says that there will become a time, just like in the days of Noah, when the earth will be purged of evil. And how was the earth purged from evil in the time of Noah? By a flood, by the waters, right? But the earth was not destroyed. The earth was not destroyed. It was cleansed. It was purged. It was sanctified. In the same way, Peter says that this current earth will be destroyed just like in the days of Noah, through a fiery purging, only to come out pure and holy. This lines up with everything we talked about last week at Jesus's, at the rapture, where we meet him in the sky and turn around and come back with him. Then creation, which has been groaning for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God, will be set free from all curses and decay. And this new earth and heaven will be our dwelling place. In verse 4 of 21, it says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. Hallelujah. So by this right here, what can we say? What can we say about tears and sadness and death and mourning and crying and pain? It will pass away, but exactly. It's not of God. It's not God's nature. It's not what God desires for you. You can claim this today in this world that we live in right now, that God's not doing this to me. God's not causing this pain. God's not causing this suffering. God's not causing this death. You know the will of God, because God is always good. That has to become a foundation of what you believe about God. Down in the core of your being, no matter if the mountains fall into the sea, if the stars fall from the sky, no matter what happens in this world, you have to be so rooted in the belief that God is good. God is good. Because that's where faith begins. You believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. He's good to those that diligently seek him. And then the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, right? So we have this city coming down, and it's both physical and it's spiritual. And what do I mean by that? What's a city? A city isn't buildings. A city is people. And many times in scriptures it talks about we are the city of God. We are stones, living stones in these buildings. So it's both physical and it's spiritual. And in verse 10 it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city. Could this great and high mountain be the one of Daniel? Of the stone that destroyed the world's kingdoms, and this stone grew into a mountain, and then the mountain grew up and filled up the earth. And I just thought of that while we're talking here. So the Spirit to this high and great mountain showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. I saw no temple in it. There's no temple in it. Everybody is talking about them building a new temple in Israel. God's not coming back to live in a temple. There is no temple. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. We can see that the earth is going to continue. There are going to be nations. There's going to be kingdoms. Right? We're not just little, we don't get a diaper and a harp and sit on clouds. Yeah. You want to see me in a diaper. And they will bring the glory to it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed. This tells us a lot right there. The gates will never be closed. First of all, it's never going to be closed. Why? Because there's no longer any enemies. And it's never going to be closed because you're always welcome in the presence of God. Verse 26, and there they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. It's interesting. Interesting things. In Revelation 22, verse 1, then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. I wonder if there's trout in that river. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. This new heaven and new earth will be our dwelling place forever. We are not going to float around on clouds in heaven forever. We will be on a real earth, and we will have real yet glorified bodies. It's almost like we return to Eden. We return to paradise. Verse 3 tells us that God's servants will be serving him. We are going to be doing things. We're going to have things to do. We're going to have a purpose. We're going to have a J-O-B. Why? We're going to have works to do. We're going to have work to do. Because work is not a negative thing. A J-O-B is not a negative thing. We're going to we're not going to be just singing hymns forever. We're going to have responsibilities. See, we get this idea that this earth that God created was just a mistake. That he never really desired for us to live here on earth. He never desired any of this, and he's just going to do it all away with it, and we're going to just be vapors going around in the cosmos or something, somewhere in heaven somewhere. No. This is all about a victorious future, that everything that God planned from the foundation of the world will come to pass. It will come to pass. There is no plan B. He's had plan A from the beginning. From when he said, light be, and light was, his plan has never changed. His destiny for humanity has never changed. His desire for us in this earth has never changed. It says that we're going to have responsibilities, and with some people having positions of greater authority than others. Then in the final chapter of Revelation, in verse 4, is what I am looking forward to the most. Someone's eating popcorn out there. And Revelation 22, verse 4. It says, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. They will see his face. We are going to be able to see God face to face. This is the God that we serve. You think you're unworthy? Well, guess what? One day you're going to be standing before him face to face. You're going to be able to come in and see him face to face. That's how worthy Christ has made you. Anytime you want, you can go into the throne room of God and see him face to face. I don't know about you, but that just, words cannot describe what I feel in my heart for the opportunity to stand before God face to face. Moses couldn't even see God face to face. He got to see his hind quarters. And he had to put his hand over his eyes and hide him in the cleft of the rock. And we will get to walk into the very glory of God and see his face. I just can't imagine what that's going to be like. Think about that. Walking into the very source of all life. I mean, what does that feel like? What does it feel like to be in life where there is no death? There's no death in God. Do you know that? There's no darkness in God. It's 100% good. What does it feel like to be in the presence of that? It's unspeakable. Will we want to? How could we leave? I don't know. Hopefully that's my responsibility, is just to sit there. Maybe we go and sit and get filled up, and then we go and do good things and then say, I'm going back. I don't know. But it's just amazing to think that we're going to see God face to face. God will dwell among his people forever. You're not a second thought. Humanity isn't a second thought. God literally likes us. He wants to live with us. He wants to be a father to us. You understand? This at this point right here is when God can say, okay, welcome to heaven. Now I'm going to go off and do something else. Welcome to heaven. I did it. I'm bored with you now. No, this is what God wants. God wants to be your father forever. God wants to be you to be in his presence forever. God wants to live with you. at this moment, in this moment in all history, when we see God face to face, the best has come. The best has come, and it's never going to leave. It's never going to get better. It can't get any better. It's it's the best. If something's the best, guess what that means? That means that there's nothing better. There's nothing ever going to be better. And at this moment, when we see God face to face, the best has come. And it's going to be like that forever. Forever. And all I can say is, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen. We have covered so much. My quick 5-minute recap. Jesus Christ destroyed the kingdom of darkness at his coming. He is that small stone that grew into a mountain, that grew, and that mountain grew and filled the entire earth. He is that seed that was planted in the garden that seemed insignificant, seemed small, but it grew up to be the largest herb in the garden. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His kingdom has been established. And throughout history, you see a steady, continual growth of God's decrees from the throne of heaven, expanding the kingdom of God more and more throughout the entire earth. There are more Christians, more believers in the earth than any other people group ever. There are more people being saved and brought into the kingdom right now in human history than any time before. The kingdom of God is increasing. The devil's kingdom, not even kingdom, dominion, is being plundered. We will plunder, the church should be plundering that defeated foe. We should be living in the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ is not coming back for a sick, defeated church. He's coming back for a victorious bride. He says that he's literally cleansing us. He is presenting us to himself without spot or wrinkle. We are rising up into victory. Jesus is seated. He is seated while God makes all of Jesus' enemies a footstool for his feet. The world is not going to get worse and worse. Yes, there's evil in the world. We've talked about this. Yes, there's heartache. But the day is coming when the last enemy, Satan himself, will be cast in the lake of fire, and we will see God face to face, and we will dwell with him forever. Since Jesus Christ came into the earth, the church, his kingdom, is expanding at an ever-increasing rate. You are part of that kingdom today. You are part of sons and daughters of God. You are ambassadors of that kingdom. You represent the very throne of God. You represent Jesus Christ. You have dual citizenship. You live in the kingdom of heaven, and you live in this earth. And our resources, our ability, our power is not based on our physical ability, wisdom, resources. It's based on who we are in Christ Jesus. We can live a victorious life here on earth. And it's just getting gooder. It's getting better and better and better until it climaxes into our eternity, which is the best. So we can be of good cheer no matter what we face in this earth. You know how many times they said it's the end. It's the end of the world. It's the end of destruction. I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like to live during the Civil War. I can't imagine what it was like living in the Revolutionary War. I can't imagine what it was like to live through World War II and see what Nazi Germany was doing in this earth. I don't know what it's like to live in Africa and have warlords come in and steal my children and rape my women and burn our villages. I don't know. I am so lucky that I haven't experienced those things. But the kingdom continues to grow. They can't snuff it out. There has been nations that tried to snuff it out. The Soviet Union tried to get rid of all Christianity. And Christianity in Russia right now is expanding at an ever-increasing rate. China is trying to get rid of Christianity. It's expanding at an ever-increasing rate. Iran, I mean, these are people that are facing death. It's increasing in an ever-increasing rate. Don't believe the devil's lies. And this is why it's so important. This is why it's so important for us to infiltrate those spheres of influences in our world. At one time, the church was in many of those spheres. But I truly believe teachings that say, well, it's got to get worse. We almost start rooting the devil on. Well, it's getting really bad out there. Jesus got to be returning pretty soon. Come on, Satan. Bring more death to destruction. I don't see how that's the heart of God, the mind of God. Do you? Think about it. If you really think the world is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and to the point of that if even the elect, even you, could forsake your faith, that's how bad and terrible it's going to get. You're literally rooting on the wrong team. No, it's getting better. If I really believe that it's going to get worse and worse, then we should just shut down the church and go home and sit on our thumbs and wait. But no, we were told to occupy until he returns. We were told to go into all the world and preach the gospels to all nations. And it might sound weird in our little church in Little Vassar, Michigan, to say that we are to be preaching to nations, but I'll say it by faith. We are to be preaching to nations. We think that talking, getting someone to say the sinner's prayer is our goal. No, Jesus says our goal is to disciple nations in the things of God. I am so excited about the future. And no matter what happens, guess what? I'm excited. I count it all joy. Because we just read the end. And it's awesome. It is so awesome. And we should be excited. We should be happy. And everywhere where that serpent, that dragon raises its head, we should stomp it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Your kingdom has been established and it shall never be shaken. It is growing and growing in the earth and it will be released as the climax of your return and setting all things straight. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone here that is not sure if their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if there's anyone listening on the live stream or by podcast or on our website right now, and they got to this point and they're sitting there thinking, I don't know for sure if my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. we ask that Holy Spirit would lead them into the realization that Jesus is God, that Jesus died for their sins, and that by faith in Him, in the resurrected Jesus Christ, is life, that they can become a new creation just by saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and make me a new creation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And you are faithful. You desire that. This morning, we just thank you for our salvation, Lord. We thank you that we have seen the light. We've come into the kingdom of God, and that we will never, ever, ever be the same. Take us deeper into that revelation. As individuals and as a church, let us walk in the fullness of who we are in Christ Jesus.